walking in the Word of God, walking in the law of God. And that is our theme today in Psalm 119, that blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
We are continuing on then today in our series in the book of Psalms, The Lord is My Shepherd. We've examined some of the different types of psalms that are in the Psalter, the book of Psalms, and today's falls into that category of a wisdom psalm that gives us wisdom for living a successful life. That is a life that God defines as successful. And it is a life that is lived in accordance with the Word of God, walking in the Word of God, walking in the law of God. And that is our theme today in Psalm 119, that blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. You know, there's some very interesting things about Psalm 119 before we look at the text here. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, the longest single chapter in the Bible. And in case you're wondering, no, we're not going to read every word of it today and discuss every verse of it here today. But we will be looking at some key concepts that are found in that book for us, or in that psalm for us. Psalm 119 is well known as the psalm that gives us teaching on the Word of God, the law of God. It was most likely composed in an era when the people of God had returned from exile. And as a result, then, the psalmist, as he is composing this wonderful poem on the Word of God, he knows firsthand the oppression of evil. He knows what it is to be surrounded by wickedness. He knows what it is to be surrounded by arrogant people and proud people. But he also knows what it is to be humbled, to feel sorrow and even disgrace. And yet, in all of it, his refuge, his hiding place is in the Lord. So it is a psalm about the Word of God, the law of God. But it's not only about the law of God, it is also about the love of God. And the beauty of this psalm is seen in the relationship of the psalmist and his God. Here's a little technical thing that I think you're going to find very interesting. Many of you may already know this, but in the Psalm 119 is a particularly interesting form of poetry, of Hebrew poetry. It is what's called an alphabetic acrostic poem. And what that means is that the psalm is composed of 22 separate sections of 8 verses each. Now, if you didn't know, the Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters in it. And those 22 sections, each of them is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And each of that section then, those 8 verses, the first word in each verse in that section begins with the same Hebrew letter. Now, of course, we can't quite appreciate that in quite the same way when it's translated into English for us. But I want to have you imagine then for just a moment, if we were to compose a poem about the Word of God, and we would write this in English and follow the English alphabet. So instead of 22 sections, there would be how many sections? 26, right? Some of you had to think about that for a minute, didn't you? By the way, Dave, I think this might be a two-cup day. I'm getting that feeling. So 26 sections. Each section has 8 verses. And the first word of each of those eight verses all start with the same letter. So in the first section, each verse starts with a word that begins with the letter A. And then in the next section, the first word of each verse starts with the letter B. Third section, each word of each verse starts with the letter C. And you'll be glad to know I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to go all the way through to Z. But we would go all the way through to Z with that. And I know some of you probably are already thinking right now, boy, I bet Q and X would be pretty tough. And I knew you were thinking that, Lynn. Oh, Linda was. Okay. That'd be pretty tough to come up with eight verses for Q and X. X especially. So you can see this poem, this psalm, is a very impressive achievement. Although I think the psalmist did have a little help, a little divine help. And so the psalm is also characterized then by the use of eight different words for the law, the Torah of God. In addition to the law, the Torah, then we also see words such as testimonies, your testimonies, Lord, your precepts, your statutes, your commandments, your rules, and of course, your word. But all of them express this revelation of God, of His righteousness and His commands that we would walk in righteousness, in His righteousness. And at the heart of all of this giant psalm, I believe, is this major theme, that those who walk in the law of God are blessed. Now we'll look a little bit more at that in a moment, but to walk means what? It's a way of life. If your way of life is according to the Word of God, the law, God's righteous standards, God's commandments, that person will be blessed. That is, that person will be under the approval and the favor of God, ultimately well off. So let's look then. We're going to start with the first eight verses of Psalm 119. The psalmist tells us this: blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. So I want us to think this morning about walking in the Word of the Lord, walking in the law of the Lord. That walking in the Word of the Lord brings blessing. It brings blessing. Again, we said, what is blessing? I know that's one of those terms that we use often. We'll throw it out there. What do we mean? Blessing. Blessed are those. It's having God's approval, God's favor. And when we think for just a moment about who God is, about the power of God, the righteousness and holiness of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God, the knowledge of God, that God knows all things about everything and everyone. God knows everything about you and me. Everything we've ever said or thought or done. Everything we ever will say or think or do. God knows all of that. And God is absolutely holy and righteous. And we're not. And God has all power. And God judges sin. The fact that God is holy and just is praiseworthy. But it is also can be a frightening thing to fall into the hands of the true and the living God, can it? But the word tells us what? Blessed are those who walk in the word of the Lord. Blessing means what? We need not fear that condemnation of God, but rather we are under His favor and approval, His grace, that we are ultimately well off. You might think this world has some wonderful things to offer, but in the end, what is that compared to what God offers, His eternal favor and blessing? So the word tells us then, blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. So I guess that means for me then, I am never going to have God's blessing because I'm not blameless. Is anybody in here blameless? No one can accuse you of ever doing any wrong whatsoever. Okay, well, let's say right now we're going to start all fresh here. How many of you think you will make it to next week absolutely blameless? I don't think we'll make it to the end of this service absolutely blameless, right? So what does this scripture mean when it speaks of the blameless? Well, it means those who are walking with integrity before them, not in sinless perfection, but who are walking with integrity with God, confessing sin, seeking, pursuing Him, pursuing righteousness. Those are the blameless. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. What do the blameless do? They walk in the way of the Lord. No, it's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. You know, there's the old expression about the Sunday Christian, the person who's a Christian on Sunday morning when they're here at church, but then they leave here the rest of the week, but they're not Christian then. Well, of course, the Scriptures doesn't recognize that kind of Christian, do they? Now, this is about, again, it's not a sinless perfection, but it's someone who's walking with integrity according to God's, or who is seeking to align his or her life with the Word of God consistently, not perfectly, but consistently with integrity. They walk in the way of the Lord. They seek Him with their whole heart. Goes back again to what? Who has first place in your life? Who has first place in my life? Should be God. Seeking Him with our whole heart. Our whole heart is the center of our mind and our affections, our will. In other words, with our whole being. They do no wrong. May my ways be steadfast in keeping your statutes. And this person who is walking with this integrity will not be put to shame. God will hold you up for blessing, His favor, His approval. You will not be put to shame. And I will praise you with an upright heart. So this is the promise in Scripture for those who walk in the word of the Lord. And what is that? It is a way of life, an orientation, a direction of life that says, Lord, I will seek you. I will seek to live in obedience to your word. And while I am not and will not be sinlessly perfect this side of heaven, I will walk with integrity and I will confess my sin before you. And I will seek to obey you. And when I've been disobedient, I'll confess it. When I've wounded and harmed others, I will seek to make things right. That is walking in the way of the Lord. Walking in the word of the Lord. Obedience to His word. Then you will be blessed indeed. Well, for the rest of this psalm, then, I want to just pick a few verses here and there to show us some of specific examples of that blessing that comes for the person who walks in the word of the Lord. Let's continue verses 9 through 11. The psalmist asks, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So walking in the word of the Lord, it brings blessing. One specific blessing it brings is the blessing of purity. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, I don't think this just applies to young men. This applies to young women. And I don't think it only applies to young men and women. I think it applies to middle-aged men and women. I think it applies to older men and women. I think it applies to teenagers. I think it applies to all of us. How can we keep our way pure? Walking in a way that honors God's standards. Boy, our society certainly does not seek to honor God's standards of purity, does it? And I hate to say, you know, I may sound now like, remember when you were younger and you always thought, oh, that older generation, they're always talking about, well, these people today, this generation today, they always think it's so much worse, when really, actually, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And the reality is throughout history, there have been some pretty, how shall I say, debauched times in world history and in American history. But that said, is it just me or is our society getting a little crazy morally? Heading for a cliff. Some would argue we've already gone over the cliff, and they may be right. So how can you, how can I, how can we keep our way pure, honoring God's standards? By guarding it according to your word. So we need to protect our lives, protect ourselves with the word of God. Guard it with His word. There's power in the Word of God. And the power isn't the words on the page. The power is the God who is behind those words. How can a young man keep his way pure? A young woman? Anyone? How can you keep your way pure? By guarding it with the Word of God. Protect yourself with the truth of Scripture. There's all kinds of siren calls out there that tempt us to turn away from the Lord and His Word and chase after idols of varying kinds. But the psalmist says what? With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. How can we keep our way pure? By seeking God with our whole heart. Guarding our hearts with His Word. Seeking Him with our whole heart. That we might not wander then from His commandments. And again, we see this protection here. The word says, verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, of course, we see that wonderful example in Jesus Christ. How did Jesus Christ respond to the temptations that were leveled at him by Satan? With the Word of God. If the Son of God felt the need to quote the Word of God, how much more so you and me? We guard our hearts with the Word of God. We seek Him with our whole heart that we might not wander from His commandments. And we store up His Word in our hearts. Well, in order to store up His Word in our hearts, we have to know what it says, don't we? This implies something. That we've been in the Word of God, that we know what it says. And that we're doing what it says. This is what it means to store up His Word in our hearts. That we might not sin against Him. So walking in the Word of the Lord brings blessing, and one of those blessings it brings to us is the blessing of purity. Another is this, satisfaction. Psalmist says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. The blessing of satisfaction here. Psalmist starts off saying something that probably, well, I will admit, I don't like the fact that this is true. I know it's true. I don't like the fact that it's true, even though I know it's true. But the psalmist admits here, he says, what? It is good for me that I was afflicted. He's recognizing the value of hard times, of pain, of challenge, even dare I say it, suffering. Why was it good? Is affliction a good thing? Is pain a good thing? No, not in and of itself. But what is good? When God's purposes are achieved through it. And what is God's purpose? It was good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. See, learning the law of God isn't just sitting in a room with a Bible and practicing Bible memory verses. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's a good thing to do. But where we truly learn the Word of God is where? Out there in the realm of everyday living. Experience. And sometimes the best way for us to truly learn the truth and the value of the Word of God is through that school of affliction. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. But you know, here's the blessing that comes with that. What is the blessing? Satisfaction. It says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Thousands of gold and silver pieces. That's a lot, isn't it? How many of you know, how many of you have learned through the school of affliction that the Word of God and the truth of God and walking with God is better than anything this world has to offer? The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. That is satisfaction. The world and its goods never satisfies, but the law of the Lord does. But there are other blessings that await the person who walks in the word of the Lord. Psalmist says in verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. So walking in the word of the Lord brings blessing. It brings the blessing of purity, of satisfaction, and it also brings the blessing of understanding, wisdom, deep wisdom. He says, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, there's a wonderful word picture in the scriptures, that word meditation. We know that we're encouraged to meditate on the word of God, and I think we need to put aside any ideas of like these Eastern mystics, you know, sitting in like the lotus position and humming, saying a word over and over again. That's not what the scriptures are talking about when it talks about meditating on the word of God. What does it mean? It means to consider, think on it, reflect on it. And then when you're done with that, think about it some more. Reflect on it some more. What does this mean? And what am I to do with it? So what? This is what the word of God means. So what? How does that affect me in my life? That's meditation. And this wonderful picture in the scripture is of like a cow chewing. It's got, I know we live in a rural area here. Some of you, have you seen the cows chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing the cud? That's a picture of biblical meditation. Just chewing over the truth of the Word of God. Considering it. Prayerfully considering the meaning and the application of the Word of God. I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And what happens when a person loves the law and is meditating on it all the day? Well, you become wise. You have understanding. In fact, you might even become wiser than your teachers. Do you think you have to go to Bible college or seminary to know the Word of God? I got news for you. There are plenty of Bible college and seminary students or seminary graduates who don't know the first thing about the Scriptures. Sad, but true. wiser than my enemies, more understanding than my teachers, more understanding than the aged. You know, the young person who meditates daily on the Word of God will have far more wisdom than the older person who never has. But you know, it's a little more to this meditation, though, than just thinking about it. Along with it is obedience. Obedience to it. For I keep your precepts. It's not just knowing what it says, it's also what? Doing what it says. And therein lies true understanding, wisdom. It's like that wonderful illustration that James gives us in the book of James, where it says, it's not enough to simply know the Word of God. We must also be what? Be doers of the Word. You don't want to be like the person who looks in the mirror, sees his reflection, and then walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. That's what, when we gaze into the Word of God, it's like a mirror that shows, it shows us our hearts. It reveals the truth about us. But if we then just walk away and do nothing with it, we don't obey what it says, we don't do what it says, we're like that person who looks in the mirror and sees the big dirt smudge on his face and then just walks away and forgets all about it. The dirt is still there. It's not enough to know what it says. We must do what it says. And in the doing comes the understanding. I hold back my feet from every evil way. And how sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, I learned something of it. Actually, I had heard this before. I'd kind of forgotten about it. And then I was reminded of this. We have, I don't think he's here today. We have a beekeeper in our midst, in our church congregation here. And so was with him the other day, and he had a bottle of honey. And so he was telling me a little about honey, and he said, "Do you know that honey is the sweetest naturally occurring substance out there?" I didn't know that. Maybe that's why Scripture says that the word of the Lord is sweeter than honey. Through your precepts, I get understanding, wisdom, and therefore I hate every false way, every way that is at odds or variance with the Word of God. There's a blessing, too, for guidance. This might be one of the most memorized verses in Psalm 119. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, one of the blessings of the Word of God, of walking in the Word of God, is that it brings guidance. It shows us the way to go in life. I've learned the hard way about trying to walk through a dark room with no light. Think, oh, I'm good, I got this. I told you that story one time. The teenagers here, the youth ministry, for some reason they seem to love this hide-and-seek game in the pitch-black darkness of the basement, church basement. And they would use their cell phones to cheat for light, and I would always make fun of them for cheating, because they would use their cell phones to guide their way. And I said, that's not how you play this game. I don't need that. Until I walked into a little table, solid wood table, right about there, put my shin right into it. I don't think I have ever had more pain in my life in that moment than when I did that. And I'll have you know, I started cheating and using my cell phone for light after that then too. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The truth is without the word of God, we're just stumbling in the darkness, aren't we? The darkness of sin. And with it, the pain and the frustration and the vanity that it brings. But the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Shows us the way to go. It protects us from bumping our spiritual shins. That's a blessing. Psalmist says, I rejoice at your word like one who finds great spoil. The word of God brings guidance and it also brings joy. I rejoice like one who finds great spoil. Have you ever wondered, what would you do? If you see this in the news sometimes, where there's like an armored truck, that like a bag of money or something like that gets lost, falls out, or something happens, and somebody will find it. Then they'll go and, well, we hear about the ones who try. I suppose the ones who don't turn it in, we don't hear about, do we? But we hear sometimes about the ones who will go and they'll turn it in, and sometimes they'll get a reward from that. But I wonder, would you be excited if you found a great bag of money that fell off an armored truck, and you went and you turned it in, and against all odds, the company said, thank you so much, we appreciate it. You know what, you keep it. So now it's legally yours, too, because so you can have it with a clean conscience here now, too. You have found this, and it is now yours. It's all yours. You think you would rejoice in that? Especially if your mortgage is due the next day, right? Well, we have something better than that. Joy. We can rejoice like one who finds a great spoil, a great treasure. That's a blessing, guidance, joy. Here's another blessing. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Great peace have those who love your law. We live in a very troubled and troubling world, don't we? With a lot of troubled people. And I'll bet there's some troubled people right here today. But peace, great peace, is for those who love the law and who walk in His word. Finally then, one, I hope for your salvation, O Lord. And I do your commandments. The blessing of hope. Those who are walking in the law of God and the word of God know that there is hope. That God has a plan, a good plan. A good plan for you. And this story has a good ending. And no matter what we may be facing today, for those who are walking in the Word, we have the hope of that blessed ending. So what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, again, I remind us again the source of true blessing is the Lord and knowing the Lord. And blessed are those who walk in the law of the Lord. That is, those who are making it their life direction to know and obey the Word of God. That's what it means to walk in the Word of God. Know it and obey it. Consistently, not perfectly, but consistently. So I'm going to ask you a question, then I'm going to give you a little homework. How many of you like homework assignments? Okay, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm even going to cheat and let us help us to start with the homework assignment before we go. The question is, are you walking in the law of the Lord? means what? It's a consistent, not perfect, but a consistent direction of our lives. Where it says, Lord, I want to put you first, and I want to know your word, and I want to obey your word. That's walking in the law of the Lord. Are you doing that? Because great blessing is for the person who walks in the law of the Lord. What's your homework assignment? Here it is. I'm calling it the ABCs, Psalm 119. We probably don't have many Hebrew scholars in here. So I thought, you know what, we're going to do this in the English alphabet, ABCs here. So your homework assignment is, and I'm not even going to make you do 8 verses for each letter of the English alphabet. I'm only going to make you do 1. How's that? Your homework assignment is compose your own poem about the Word of God, about the law of the Lord. A verse that starts with A, a verse that starts with B, a verse that starts with C, and so on all the way through Z. You know, I just rhymed that, and that wasn't supposed to rhyme. I guess that's another little poem there, right? So, Q and X are going to be the rough ones, I know. But what do you think, folks? Start us off here. Let's start this off here. Someone give me a verse about the Word of God that starts with an A, a word that starts with an A. Awesome. I heard awesome and appreciate, all right? So what? Awesome is your word, O God. Okay? All right, how about B? Who can give us a word for B?
Beautiful are your precepts.
Beautiful are your precepts. All right. There you go. See, this is easy. It's not so bad. All right, how about Q? See, you thought I was going to say C. Yep, Q. There you go. The quest for the Lord. Quest for the Lord brings joy. All right. Okay, how about X? You got me. How about X? And don't say examine my heart. You know. X-ray my heart. There you go. I was going to cheat and say, Xerxes was no match for your word, O God. There you go. You get the idea. That's your assignment. Think about that this week. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that those who walk in your law are blessed. There is no greater joy than the joy of knowing you, walking in fellowship with you, Lord. Thank you that we have hope in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the guidance that you've given us in your word, that we need not stumble in the darkness. Thank you, Lord, for the great satisfaction that is for those who pursue you with all their heart, like a great spoil. So, Lord, may we be faithful to pursue you with our whole hearts, to walk in your law, knowing, Lord, that when we stumble, you are gracious to forgive and cleanse as we confess our sins. And may our lives, Lord, be a testimony of the beauty and the truth of your word. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.